you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Here for the Right Reasons, Us Weekly's Bachelor podcast. I am your host, Sarah Herron, and we have so much to talk about on week 3 of Gabby and Rachel's journey. Things are quite dramatic and a lot of tears to break down, and I have someone who has shed a tear to himself on The Bachelor, maybe once, Connor Brennan, who you remember from Katie Thurston's season of The Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise. Connor, how are you?
I'm doing great, Sarah. Thanks so much for having me. How are you?
Thank you for coming on. I've been loving your live tweets, which is why I reached out to you. I was like, I know you're watching and you're trying to wrap your head around what this is.
Yeah, absolutely. The funny thing is, I actually have been live tweeting The Bachelor for ages, since way before I was on the show. It's just no one cared and no one got any likes on my tweets. My parents actually got me started watching The Bachelor like in high school.
Wow.
We started watching it back then. So yeah, long time watcher, first time podcaster here.
Oh, wow. This is so exciting then. Oh, I'm so honored. And wow. So you've seen the show go through a lot of different changes and then got to be a part of it. That must've been trippy when you were finally there.
It really was. And I didn't really tell anybody that I watched the show much, because you see people like get labeled as a super fan just because they watched the show. So I was just like, yeah, I've seen the show a couple times.
And I never think that's fair, because I get more angry when they don't know what they're signing up for and they get mad about the process. I would prefer someone who understands, you know, yeah, more than one person's going to go to the fantasy suite. And you agreed to that when you walked into this mansion, sir.
Do your research, be prepared when you show up.
Yeah, just don't bring a folder like that one guy did, all weirdly, like, just be cool about it. That was wild. Well, overall, how have you been feeling about watching two Bachelorettes? I personally have been saying that I'm quite entertained, but I worry about the long-term effect on poor Gabby and Rachel's potential mental health and therapy bills that I hope ABC is paying for, because I think it's been great TV, but it feels quite excruciating for them.
Yeah, I need to think about how I feel about that, too. It's definitely been interesting to watch. I don't know that it's better than having just one Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. It has been interesting to see them kind of figure things out. The one thing I will say about it is it's really cool to see Gabby and Rachel's relationship with each other and to have each other to like bounce ideas off of and process things. Because I feel like being Bachelor or Bachelorette can probably be a really lonely role at times. So having someone to go through it is pretty cool.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I think if anything, what's going to come out of this for sure is the two of them like solidified. I was joking, because it's like those promos are like best friends. It's like, are they really? But watching them on screen, they communicate with each other better than any Bachelor couple I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's definitely been really cool to see, like, when Gabby's going through something tough, Rachel comes in and is like, hey, like, I'm sorry you had to go through that. Like, even if they kind of fought a little bit here and there in this episode, like they really clearly care about each other, which is
cool. Yeah, I think so too. And it kind of brings us to this episode where we have 21 guys left and we see, I know it's, there's so many of them still, it's hard to get to know their names.
Right.
And the guys are kind of talking about getting their joint roses. And it's funny because I feel like, and maybe you can speak to this as someone who's been a contestant on the show, if you were in their shoes and it was Gabby and Rachel and they were presenting the roses as joint, but Gabby said your name, wouldn't you kind of take that as like, all right, maybe I'm on the Gabby side.
Yeah, I think if the girl who says your name, I'd be like, okay, she gave me the rose, I'm going to focus on her.
Right.
That's also been the confusing part. And we saw that really kind of blow up in this episode.
Yeah.
I think it was like a lot of tension was building. And finally, this episode shit just exploded.
Yeah. And I'm happy it happened early because I think in a few more weeks, it really would have actually been like more real feelings involved. Now it's more just like you're embarrassed and that no one wants to feel that way. But if it was a couple more weeks, I think it could have gotten even messier in a way that wouldn't have been good TV. It would have actually just been sad.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, the guys are trying to figure out who they want to be with. Jesse Palmer comes in, and I only bring this up just because I love Jesse Palmer. I think he's just like I like the way he just kind of comes in and out and really doesn't know what's going on half the time, so much it seems, because they're making this up. Mm. But he, in this episode, when he was like, okay, there's going to be 2 one-on-one dates and a group date, they were all acting like that was revolutionary.
Right.
And that's just the format of the show. Did you pick up on that?
Dates? What are you talking about?
Like, I don't know if they just were encouraged to be like a little excited, but they were really like, wow, high stakes. It's like, there's always a group. There's always a date, a rose on the one-on-one.
Yep. Maybe they haven't watched the show. Maybe they haven't done their research.
Maybe. Rachel got the first one-on-one with Zach. She had a few guys, Tino, Tyler, Avon, who kind of wanted it. So you can kind of see who's Team Rachel here. Mm-hmm. What did you think of Zach?
This was actually a really cool date. I think I liked Zach, especially, you know, seeing like his mom come in and talk and then seeing Rachel's mom come in and talk and then seeing him get emotional. I'm a huge family guy myself. So anytime someone has a really good connection with their family, that goes a long way with me. I think I like their connection together. What do you think of him and their connection together?
I really like him. I think he's very personable and he seems to be pretty comfortable in front of the camera. So it didn't feel like awkward. He didn't make me like, sometimes people I feel like you can tell aren't quite adjusting to like being on the show. I think he's cute. And I also thought they kissed a lot for an early one-on-one on the show. Like, so they kissed chemistry. it upon like getting out of the limo for the date. I don't know. I feel like that was kind of early for like an embrace.
Well, maybe, but you know, you don't have a lot of time on that show, so making use of it.
And Karamo was there, and I'll say this, That's not right. You. I think those were some of the ugliest outfits they've ever put people in on this program, but it was fun. They seem to be like, having fun with it.
I see. Okay, when I do my feedback, my live tweets, every time before I send a tweet, I'm like, is this mean to anybody? Yeah. And I really try, because there's so many mean tweets out there.
Yeah.
So many. And I've been on the other side of receiving those. Okay. So I'm always like, there's ways to live tweet this and just, you know, figure out things that are funny without like really hitting people.
And they are great people, but those clothes were questionable.
The outfits were interesting.
Interesting. And I feel like usually when they do those like kind of shopping like dates, they make them, it's more like princessy. And this was like, maybe there was a theme they also didn't tell us about because they were more like costumes.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Karamo though. Karamo being in it was amazing. Love him so much.
He seemed quite invested and passionate. I was buying what he was selling with saying that he really like cares about the show and like is a fan.
Yeah, he was like really excited to be on the show, it seemed like, which is super cool when they get in a celebrity guest who actually like loves the show.
And you can tell when it's like, this was maybe a spawn that like this is going to be product placement versus like, no, he probably was like reached out and was like, I want to be on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And their move. So we think they're going to a movie premiere and it ends up being Home Movies. And people on Twitter, at least, were loving this. And I think two things about it. One, I do think it's very sweet. And I think it makes it more real versus like watching them watch a movie would have been weird. Like if it was an actual movie, me and you, especially after the wild, like fake photographer, like situation. Right. But the one thing I did think was like watching other people's home movies without knowing anything about them is not necessarily the most fascinating thing on the planet. Like I would maybe need more context. Like, why are you so excited in that video? Is it your birthday? Like maybe they just cut that out, but it was like, you know what I mean? Like watching someone's home movies and you're like, I don't know who you're hugging here.
That's a good point. I'm trying to picture like if I went on a first date with a girl and she's like, hey, we're going to watch home movies of me. I'd be like, okay, all right, I'm with you. That's like maybe a fourth or fifth date.
Yeah. But
again, everything here gets accelerated and it played well for both of them. Like you saw them both get pretty emotional. And anytime, you know, when you're sequestered away from your family and friends without a cell phone, anytime you're seeing a video of your family, it really like hits you pretty hard. So yeah, it was a tender moment, even if it, you know, seemed a little strange from the outside.
Yeah, it is also, it's a bubble. And it's interesting because they're probably only a week into filming, but like, it probably feels like you said, being away from your family, no phone, it feels like you've been gone a long time quick, I would assume.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it worked for them. Like you said, they both found out that their parents used to bring them to the airport to watch planes fly. We know Rachel ended up being a flight instructor. And he said he was falling for her. And it was one of those like, I feel like they were having like an out-of-body experience, like how into each other they were in such a quick time.
Yeah, absolutely. That's okay. So that's the thing. They both watched. I missed that line.
Yeah.
I looked away for a second. I was like, wait, they're connected.
Why are they crying?
Yeah, why are they crying now?
So he told a story about his dad loved planes and would bring them to the airport to watch planes take off. And she was like, oh, my dad did that. And that's definitely not something that I feel like most people do. So that's definitely interesting to have in common.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, cool. Yeah,
I think Zach's one to watch.
He will go far, I believe.
Yep. Yeah. But I think I've been saying since day one that Rachel and Tino, I don't know if anyone's going to be able to beat the chemistry she's got with Tino.
Shoot, I can't remember Tino. I'm trying to remember all the names.
No, Tino was the one later on that she was making out with on the couch on the football field. But on the episode, he brought her to the stairs. He wasn't really in the second one. And that's why I'm like, oh, they're hiding him because she likes Tino.
So Tino and Zach are your front runners?
Yeah, for Rachel, I think so. Tino and Zach. Gabby, we see her during this date kind of go to the mansion and spend some time with the guys. They play football, which she was not super into.
The guys were like not flirting with her. They were just bro timing. And she's like, this sucks. What? Like, no one's flirting with me.
Like, what do you think happened there? Like, do you think they didn't know if they could make a move? Do you think like, cause they were in their environment of like, oh, at the house, we just chill. Like what was the disconnect?
Yeah. It's scary when you're in a big group because you want to go talk to her, but there's 20 guys there. So
you're worried about stepping on someone's toes, maybe?
Yeah, but also it's just intimidating because, you know, if you're going to go flirt with her, everyone's going to watch you flirt with her.
Right.
Type of thing. And so I don't think it was that any of the guys didn't have interest in her. It's more just like, am I allowed to go talk to her right now? Because we didn't know you were going to be here.
Right. That makes sense. Because from our perspective, watching it just as a viewer, you're kind of just like, poor Gabby. And she plays everything off so well. Like, she's so good at making awkward situations not awkward and whatever. Like, I think she's just like great as a bachelorette, but that was quite an awkward situation with them just throwing around the football and not wanting to spend time with her. So it seemed
she was just like, okay, I'm gonna go.
Yeah,
bye, thanks for nothing.
I know. And I do think there's something to be said for like there's more downtime since there's two bachelorettes, so maybe like she's getting in her head about it more. Like she's like wants to like progress, but she has to wait for like Rachel's date to be done. So she's sitting around and is like, I don't know that for a fact, but maybe that's because it kind of feels like she's very in her feels very early about not knowing if this is going to work and like being the bachelorette. Like she's emotional throughout the whole episode, but at the beginning here, it seems like she's taking it really hard. And I wonder if that's partly just because there's more time to worry about it because there's two centers of attention.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. And you see both of them get kind of doubtful about their own role as the like co-bachelorette, like at different moments. Like, oh, yeah, am I going to be second pick? Like that sort of thing. So that's another interesting dynamic that's been in this season.
And it's inevitable. Like as much as they want to support each other and like that they're different and want to watch each other succeed, like you can't help but when you're in a direct moment compare, like it's just human nature. And I know they're trying to avoid that, but I like that they're just being honest about it though.
Yeah. And that's the thing is I think they've stayed honest with each other, which is good.
Yeah. And I feel like the show's breaking the fourth wall a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe it's because there's two of them, like they have to talk about being the bachelorette more than maybe they just say like, I'm on a journey. Maybe I'm just, I just feel like they keep talking about being the bachelorette. Sure. Like, it's kind of meta. And you've seen the producers a little more.
Right. Yeah. We saw a couple producers that I recognized in this episode. I got really excited.
Yeah. Are you like, oh, that's a good one to go to right now in this moment?
Yay. Miss him.
That's amazing. Gabby had a one-on-one with Eric.
And Grandpa John.
Everyone was very excited to see Grandpa John. I don't know if Eric was excited to see Grandpa John. Maybe he just has like a resting face, but I feel like he more maybe wanted to make out with Gabby and not go bowling with Grandpa John. But yeah. I'm just projecting here. I don't know.
No, you might be right. Cause he said a couple of things. They're just like, yeah, I've never been on a date with someone in their grandpa before. And it's like, there's two choices in that situation, right? You can be like, this is weird. Why am I on a date with a grandpa? Or you can be like, hell yeah, Grandpa John, what's up? Let's go. Like you've got a chance to make an impression with someone who's extremely important to Gabby.
Yeah.
So I think he kind of took the more like normal world. Like, oh, this is weird that I'm on a date with a grandpa.
And maybe he hadn't seen the season. So he didn't know like how Grandpa John was going to be so embraced.
We love Grandpa John.
We do. We need that Bachelor Senior show with Grandpa John. If they're going to do it, which I don't know, those promos are off the air again. So who knows if Bachelor Seniors is happening.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed it's Grandpa John and maybe Julie, the nice red lady they ran into at the bowling alley can be a contestant.
He is such a delight to watch. I love him so much.
I think so too. And it made me just like so jealous that she has like such a grandfather who's like so like in tune and like, it was just amazing. And I think also with, I liked that we saw Nate, who clearly is like all in on Gabby, be like kind of jealous that she got to meet her grandpa, which also kind of then made me, maybe that's why also I was like, is Eric excited? Because like Nate would do anything to be there right now.
That's a great point. Yeah, Nate would have loved that date, would have loved to meet Grandpa John. And Eric was kind of like, meh, you know, it's fine.
Yeah. But at night, the night portion, we saw him talk about his parents a little bit and how his parents' like marriage like inspire him and how they're a team. And that brings out in Gabby, which we've seen a little bit already, kind of her talking about her mom. And I think it's so interesting that this has come up several times on the, a little bit on Clayton season. And then every episode it feels like, and I know it's a huge part of her journey. And I don't know what it's like to relate to that. And I think it's amazing that she is opening up about it because I'm sure it's hard, but I wonder like, does she want to bring it up every time? Or is it like the guys talking about their parents? Is it like important? Is it top of mind? Cause she's filming this show and she's feeling extra vulnerable. Like, I feel bad that just keep having this conversation and like try to explain this conversation, this relationship with her mom.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of all of that, right? Like being on the show brings up a lot of emotions. It demands that you're vulnerable right off the bat. And yeah, having these important conversations with these guys and then bringing up their parents and then her kind of naturally bringing up her parents. And so it's yeah, it must be tough on her. And you see that in this episode, her just get really, really emotional. And Eric, I don't know what you thought about this, but I don't know if he did a great job of really saying much to her.
I know.
Editing, you never know.
Right.
But it kind of seems like he's just like, okay. Like,
he definitely seemed like alarmed that she was gone for as long as she was. And then when she came back, he just didn't really say much. And again, you might be right. It might be editing. They just didn't show it. But like for her to have to climb on his lap versus like him comforting her was a little strange to me.
Well, but I mean, the other thing to think about is she still did give him the rose and she was really like, thank you for all this. So true. Like, regardless of what we saw, he was there for her in that moment in some capacity. And she felt safe enough to share all that with him. So that says something about their connection.
That's a really good point. And she did say at the end, I wrote down, I would do anything to be loved by someone like Eric. So she took it as like, whatever, they had a good time and she felt comfortable talking to him versus what we saw, which did, I think, felt a little like he didn't say much. But yeah, I just think it's fascinating. And I think there's so many layers to Gabby. And I feel like we're really seeing a lot because she's so like goofy and funny and like great on camera. But then, you know, she has these like vulnerable moments talking about her mom. And it's just, it's tough. She really was put through the ringer in this episode. Yeah.
There was a line I wrote down when she was kind of falling apart and went over to talk to producer. She said, like, am I too broken for anyone to love?
Oof.
And that, oh my God, I think that stabbed all of us right in the heart.
100%. And it's something you hear on this show sometimes. I always go back to Ben Higgins, the unlovable bachelor, as he was dubbed by himself.
Okay.
Yeah, no, like he's very lovable, but he's his thing that he's like, he thought he was unlovable. So that it was like, oh, we're going to prove Ben Higgins that he's lovable, which he seems very lovable. And for Gabby, it's kind of like she's going through a lot of internal stuff. And I'm sure Rachel is on some degree also, but with Gabby, it feels like she might come out of this learning a lot about herself. I don't know if she'll have a partner, but it feels like she's really like going through like boot camp of like
emotional
training.
Boot camp.
Yeah. Is that what this show does? Is it just like emotional boot
honestly,
camp?
Honestly, yes. 100%.
What do you think it'd be like to be on a 19 on 2 date?
Wait, let's see. What was my group date? It was not 19.
19, I feel like might be the biggest ever. I don't know if they just said that.
I think it's a record. I think they set a new record every year for how many people they put on the date. Like, but it was so wild watching all the guys run out on. You're just like, wait, they're still coming? This is like a stampede of hot, greased up men.
So many men. Are group dates, especially in the beginning like that, is it intimidating? Is it fun at all? Is it like, what is a group date like?
It's all of that. It's all wrapped up into one. And at this point, you know, the guys are really making friends with each other too. So you're starting to actually feel a little bit more comfortable. You know, you're not just on your own. But yeah, it's a lot of pressure to try to get time with the bachelorette.
Yeah.
And do it in a way that's not like stepping on toes per se. But yeah, it's a lot. But it can be fun. And this one was wild.
Wild. I thought it was gonna be the classic wedding situation, but no. We were doing family portraits, I think was the theme. What was the theme of this?
The theme of this was mayhem. They just literally pulled out all the stops. They're like, what costumes do we have? Put everybody in a costume and just see what the fuck happens. Can I cuss on this show?
Yes, you can cuss. Okay, it really was a mind F, so.
And we had Franco, right? That was in...
Yes. Yeah.
Because Franco was at our group date too. I love Franco.
Is that high energy guy, I imagine.
Yes, the photographer. He's a lot of fun. He's really, really funny. But yeah, see, like we saw, who was it? It was Meatball as a baby.
Who's yes. I think Ivan was the pregnant person who gave birth to Meatball. Yeah,
so Ivan gave birth to Meatball. Like,
That was so weird.
Holding each other. But then you had the guys in cowboy outfits all greased up. You had just all sorts of different outfits.
Quincy was in a hospital gown that had no back. So he just had to show off his assets.
That's nice.
How would you feel if you were on a group date like this and you had to dress up as a baby and then some of the guys got to look really hot in their suits and get to fake propose? Because that doesn't seem fair.
I mean, you know me, as a man who's been in a cat suit.
It's all true.
Tuxedos. Always go for the funny costume.
You'd feel at home in this situation. Yeah,
absolutely. I don't know about being dressed up as a baby, but
I know you kind of hope for at least maybe like the cowboy look versus
the nice thing is if you wear a diaper, you don't have to, you know, go to the bathroom every so often. So
that's true. Hopefully
you're in the moment the entire time. You don't have to leave.
Oh my God. That's funny. An advantage. Jacob, they put in like the Adam and Eve thing. I think hopefully know that he's the one who showed up with like no shirt on night one, I guess. So they know he's comfortable with nudity. Cause sometimes on these group dates, like if you got there and you were given a leaf, like, I don't know if I'd be like super down.
Like, where does this go?
Yeah.
Is this my costume?
Like, I feel like I wonder if they have to at some point, you know, not get approval, but just be like, I guess they got to tread lightly with who they give what and see what happens.
Yeah. They're not going to like force anybody to do anything. They usually feel out who's willing to do what. And sometimes they'll have guys volunteer for stuff like that. So
that makes sense. Well, lucky for these guys and not so much for Gabby, who made it very clear she doesn't like football. Mm-hmm. They got to go to the stadium that the Rams and the Dodgers, I think, play at in LA. And Rachel, again, just like thriving, living her best life on the field with several different setups. You see her with Tino on the couch. You see Avon on the blanket with her. I feel like he's a strong contender for her. Tino makes it clear I'm 100% only pursuing you. They're very like intertwined. And then Gabby, in addition to we'll get into what the guy said to her, but also was like inside the stadium. Like it just felt like this whole episode was like Rachel's gonna shine and poor Gabby's just gonna like have the short end of the stick the whole time.
Yeah, Gabby kind of gets thrown under the bus a little bit, and that kind of leads into what happens that night.
Yeah.
That was Tino on the football field. That's right. They had a little.
Yeah. She's a big, I'm telling you, Tino's got it in the bag based on my way too early prediction of analyzing the trailer and watching the show for too long. but with Gabby, we saw Tyler, who's the one from Wildwood, New Jersey. He's like, has the carnival games. He tells her in a very respectful, normal way, I'm interested in Rachel, but I think you're great. Contrasted by Hayden's, you're rough around the edges. My morals are more aligned with Rachel. And Jacob's, you're smoking, but if you were the only one here, I would leave.
Yeah, that was brutal. And to watch that all happen in a row, and like Gabby, bless her soul, is just kind of like, okay, yeah. She doesn't like really get pissed at the guys because, you know, she's like, I respect that. At least you're coming and talking to me, I guess. But to see her just get like 1, 2, 3 punched like that. And to end with, yeah, it was Jacob who said the...
Jacob said the morals and, or no, Jacob said the, I would leave if you were the only one here.
That's the one that really grabbed me, was like, I want you to know that like, if it was just you here, I would go home. What? That doesn't need to be said at all. Like that didn't do anything for anybody. That just makes her feel like shit. That doesn't make you look good at all.
No.
Like why was that? Are you just trying to be brutally honest? I don't really understand what his goal was in that.
I don't either. And you can tell by when Rachel's kind of clued in later, she's like, do they think insulting you makes me like them more? It's like, no, like the way you treat my friends would be part of a pro or con.
Yeah. Like respect the idea of being like, hey, you're great, but I really care about Rachel. Sure. Yeah. That's a good conversation to have, but the way you do it really matters. And that was not the way to go about it. And then, yeah, the ending with the, but obviously you're smoking hot.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, this guy, I feel like there's a lot they're not even showing us. There's probably a lot of hidden footage of this guy putting his foot in his mouth.
Like you're breaking up with this girl, you're being a, you know, dick about it, and then you're saying, but you're really hot.
Yeah.
Now you're gonna go date her best friend. Like
everything not to do in that situation.
Rough moment.
Pretty much. I also think, and I don't know this for a fact, and I make assumptions all the time, and we don't know what we didn't say, right? Because obviously these are long dates. There's plenty of things that get left on the cutting room floor, but it just feels a little suspicious to me that we've seen them say in interviews and on the show that like, they haven't gotten a lot of time with a lot of these guys because there's two of them. And I think, you know, night one, they did some combined talks as it went along. The guy who got kicked out last week, can't remember his name, had said he hadn't even spoken to Gabby yet. So there's clearly like not a lot of time. And I know there's extra guys, like it's a lot, whatever, you don't get a lot of time. But the fact that there's been time for Gabby to be with the ones that I'm sure the producers know don't want to be with her. Mm. And we see that, like, I hope she got time with the other guys too, but it made it seem like, at least for the audience, that she really only got just the pummeled one-on-one. And like, they knew which guy, the producers know who they like. And yeah. I know we need to see it as the audience member maybe. So we're like, this is why Hayden's only with Rachel now, because he told Gabby. But I just feel like it felt, and like even last week on the date, it felt a little bit like the other way around, like all the guys like Gabby and Rachel was the one, like, I don't know, it just feels very pointed, like who gets to see who.
Yeah, you have to wonder if there were really nice moments that we didn't get to see for Gabby that night, or if it really was just kind of like these three guys breaking up with her.
Yeah, and I know she then, it like caused her to not necessarily want to keep going, because she said she like had a breakdown and like didn't get to talk to one of the guys that I can't remember who Rachel asked her about. And I just thought, yeah, it must be emotionally exhausting. But I liked the idea that she didn't give the group date rose.
That was the wildest part, was Rachel's face when that happened. Because it was very clear that Rachel was not clued into that. Because she said, I'm not giving a group date rose tonight. And Rachel just goes,
yeah, shocked.
And then like kept her jaw dropped for a couple of seconds. Was just like, and was like pissed, but also surprised.
Yeah.
And you could see that in her face. And then she's like, what happened? And then Gabby explains it. She's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm sorry you had such a bad night. I wonder if, did anyone break up with Rachel that night and say, I'm just going for Gabby?
Not that what we saw from last night's episode, which again, who knows, it might have.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering about.
Because whichever guy that, I can't remember who it was, but Rachel specifically asked, did you get to talk to this guy? So maybe that guy did that to Rachel. So she knew like maybe he was going to be looking for Gabby. I can't remember who it was. If you're on a group date scenario like that and, you know, Rachel comes in, gives her rose to Avon and whatever, and Gabby is like, I'm not giving one. Do you think that gets across like the message? Because that's kind of what she was wanting to do. Like to be like, I'm not happy. And like, we're shaking things up. Like if you're a contestant's point of view, are you like, all right, like we're in for something tonight, because that was weird.
Yeah, she made a really strong statement with that. And I'm kind of glad she did, because, you know, it's not just, it's like not status quo anymore. She's like, hey, this is messed up. Something's not working correctly here. Like, step up.
Yeah.
Like, you guys got to step it up one way or another.
And then we get into the guys they learn that this rose ceremony is going to be different. And if they accept their rose from Rachel, they're on Rachel's journey. If they accept their rose from Gabby, they're on Gabby's journey. And it puts them in an interesting position, because in some ways, yes, you should definitely decline the rose if you're interested in the other one, but it is early. And I just feel like some of these guys maybe should have just accepted the rose instead of rejecting poor Rachel three times in a row.
This rose ceremony was wild.
Yeah. Edge of your seat TV.
Really? Yeah, for sure. Because like and especially, it's so funny when it was Termaine who rejected the first rose, right? Mm-hmm. He rejects the rose. And then Jesse Palmer comes sprinting out. And he's like, hey, just to tell you, the rules that I just made up.
Yeah.
If you reject a rose, that rose is gone.
Forever. That was crazy.
I was like, what?
I wonder if they knew that, if they wouldn't have done it.
I don't know. And that's a great question. It's like, there's so many politics and strategy then that goes into this. Like, do I try to accept this rose from whoever and then just talk to the person afterwards? Or do I?
Yeah. Is there trades down the line? It's still unclear.
I didn't think of that.
Could they offer a trade? What if something they trade? Happened? It's like, it feels like we're like playing fantasy something, some sport. Yeah. I don't know. But Jesse Palmer got more steps in than Chris Harrison did in all those years, because he had to keep running back in.
Yeah, that was wild.
And yeah,
the fact that they didn't tell them that beforehand, or they hadn't decided that.
I agree. It was crazy. And I definitely feel bad for Rachel in that moment. No one wants to feel rejected. Even if, because then I look on the flip side, I almost would rather have a smaller group of guys that I felt like were really, I knew were there for me and I felt confident in, versus like Gabby's group. I don't know how many I would like stand out that actually so far at least have a strong connection with her. Mm-hmm. And Rachel's, I feel like it's like getting deep quick, and she might have less, or she might be embarrassed. And I would never want to live through that moment. Like, that would just be a tough moment. And I get that. And she handled it amazing. I would burst into tears the second the first one said no, just out of pure, like, I'm sad. Just like the same way someone would reject you at a bar. Yeah. Like, rejection's not fun. But I think at the end of the day, it actually will go a long way, because she has a group that is like really like wants to be there for her. And I feel like maybe Gabby might have a few that are like, feeling out being on The Bachelorette and like her, but like, I don't know.
So you think Rachel's group of guys is more serious about Rachel than Gabby's group of guys is?
I do. And I don't know why necessarily, with the exception of Nate, who I think definitely we know. And I'm sure some of these guys we just haven't really seen get time, but I just feel like a lot of the names I'm like, oh, you haven't been a factor at all. And I can like name like four that I feel like I could pick Rachel's top four right now.
So what do you think about this split? That's the question. Was this the right move? Should they have waited longer? This is kind of unprecedented. So what do you think this was what they should have done?
I think it's what they should have done, because if they waited any longer, I think it would have gotten really dark. But I think they can't be surprised, because it looks like at least Logan, I think, is the one on the commercial. If there are guys that like regret the decision, because I also don't know, like, how is it going to work? It looks like maybe when they're in Paris, like they're out on like almost like a double date.
Right.
But then in theory, they're still really at the same level of getting to know both of them. So what if one of them is like a little too flirty with the other one?
100% that's going to happen. Like somebody's going to switch. Somebody's going to realize that like, oh, I made the wrong choice. I should have gone with this. And that we even saw that at the end of the episode with Meatball.
What's Meatball doing?
What was that? Because it's what I call the moment of Zen, because that's from the like the Daily Show back in the day. They would show a little clip at the very end. And it's always just like funny and goofy and lighthearted. And we see Meatball, and his name's Meatball. So you're just like, oh, this is going to be a little lighthearted moment.
Yeah.
And it kind of is. But it's also kind of like important to the plot. They don't usually throw plot points in at the very end.
No.
So this is interesting. I was like, what are we supposed to be feeling right now? Because it's Meatball going. So Meatball rejected Rachel's rose.
Yes.
But then at the very end of the episode, he goes back to Rachel and he says, basically, like, I think I made the wrong decision.
Right.
Is that what he was trying to say?
And is he just like shooting a shot because he's like, well, why not? I just try to get back on the show. Or does he like actually like Rachel and just like panicked when he found out like the roses were going to be taken away? Because
Did he get sent home?
Yeah. None of the guys that Rachel, that quote unquote rejected Rachel, Gabby didn't give them roses. So all three of them, Termaine, I think that's his name, right? Meatball and Alec, all three of them didn't get roses from Gabby after they rejected Rachel's. And I think they should have had the foresight to know that these two probably pre-decided. Like, I know they said they picked the rose separate. They decided separately. I don't think these two are doing anything separately. I think they very much went through this list and picked which guys were getting which. So I don't think it was a smart move to think you were going to like, in the moment, she was then going to like pull an audible and be like, okay, I want Meatball because you didn't take him. Like, I don't think they were doing that.
Wait, okay. This makes more sense to me now. I must have missed that. So Termaine, Meatball, and Alec all rejected Rachel's rose?
Yes. So
did
then
reject Gabby's rose?
Not that we saw. When you know, the whole theme of the episode is that Gabby didn't feel like anyone wanted her. That's the crazy thing.
It's like both bachelorettes are just getting pummeled with rejection one way or another.
I know. It's not really fair because they're supposed to be there like in control. So I do get their frustration. But then again, like there's so much more to talk about than normal on this show. So like it's interesting. I just don't know if it's great for anyone's morale.
Oh, so damn. Rachel's got to be feeling rough then because she got, you know, three guys who said no, who wanted to be with Gabby. But yeah.
But maybe Meatball back. Do you think Meatball's going to be invited back? Do you think he'll just inexplicably be at the next like group date, or are they going to like follow
up? That's what I didn't realize. I thought for some reason that Gabby had given Meatball a rose.
Oh.
I didn't realize that he got sent home. So that was him at the end begging for a rose. I didn't realize that. Oh, shit.
Not a great look for Meatball.
Oh, yeah. And he was basically just like, I made a split second decision and I was wrong and I want you now.
Yeah, it's like, I forgot your name. Like, it's like, I forgot which one of you I liked. Like, I don't know. And again, like the guys, they don't know them that well. So I do get why
it's still early. Yeah.
It's so early, but that's why it's like, I almost feel like you just shouldn't have rejected the rose unless you really didn't like the person. Like you couldn't even be friends after this or whatever. But otherwise I feel like just like go for the ride a little bit. You know what I mean? It's so early.
There was no time to strategize because no one really knew how this would work. You take the rose.
Leave the next day if you like have regrets. Yeah. And then you get a nice goodbye storyline, and that always goes well.
You take the rose and you see if there's a connection there, and you see if you're allowed to switch. If there's not.
I think so too. I think it was a mistake to turn down any rose, but let the record show for anyone who missed it or wants a list, I do have Rachel has 8, and it's because she had 2 roses that she gave out earlier and Gabby didn't give out a group date rose. So Gabby has 9 guys and Rachel has 8 because she gave out an extra one. So she has Zach, Avon, Tino, Logan, Tyler, Ethan, Jordan, and Hayden, who somehow snuck in there, even though he was kind of rude to Gabby. I feel like that was Rachel being like, I know you're not going to say no, so you get my last one, because they said you were here for me.
Right. Yep. That's the your rough around the edges guy. That's
yeah, it. Rough around the edges, which, ooh, just, I don't know. There's so many other ways you could have said it.
Brutal.
And Gabby's nine are Eric, Nate, Johnny, Spencer, Jason, Mario, Kirk, Quincy, and Michael. There you have it. Do you have any like predictions you want to throw out there in case you're right and you can have the proof?
What are my predictions? Honestly, there was so much to process and digest in this episode.
There was.
I think it's going to, someone's going to switch or try to switch sides, maybe a couple people, and it's going to be really dramatic and really hurtful.
Yeah. I think so too. My bold guess has been that I think Rachel's with Tino and I think Gabby's solo.
Damn. Okay.
And not again. I think Gabby's amazing. I just think she's maybe she's a little older. And I think she's kind of like, I think she's going to like leave the process. It's going to be some sort of like, I learned about myself and like, I love myself kind of moment. And I think Gabby and I think Rachel is with Tino, but I know nothing. I haven't read any spoilers. I haven't been spoiled. I try to make it as long as I can. It never lasts in this job, but as of right now, I don't know. And that's my guess. So I don't know. I hope Gabby's with someone. I want them both to be happy, but I would also just have a hard time believing this is going to work for both of them.
Yeah. You got to wonder if the fairy tale conditions can line up for both people or
yeah.
It's inevitable that it'll only work for one of them.
I mean, even casting wise, in theory, they're casting for the lead, but there's two of them that are very different women at different ages, different parts of their life. Like how does that even happen? And it kind of happened with Tayshia / Claire for like a second, and then it didn't happen.
What a wild ride that one was.
I mean, again, great team. That's why they do have to mix it up. But I'll ask you from your perspective, because I think Tino is such a clear front runner, and that's literally from three episodes, so I could be wrong. Sometimes I'm so off, and sometimes I'm on. But for you on your season, like, did you know that Blake was going to be it for Katie, or was that, and I guess he came in later, so it's harder, but did you guys like know? Cause I remember there's a few people that have said it's so obvious and others are like, oh, I had no idea that they were like had a connection at all.
It was really tough. We knew that a few people had really good connections with her. Definitely Blake, Greg, you know, Michael A, like there were guys who you could just tell that she really gravitated towards and that sort of thing. But it wasn't like a Claire
Dale situation. I mean, not many are, but it's just interesting because I think it was someone on Ben Higgins' season has said, like, I remember seeing Ben look at Lauren at the airport when we like saw each other and it was like, oh, why are we all still here? Like he's looking at her in a way that he's not looking at anybody else. So I think sometimes maybe it is obvious to the contestants. Other times people go far and they're like, no, like I thought it was me, like genuinely.
Right. And it's crazy just how much a day can change things in all of this. Because you just, you know, if you get to spend a little extra time and you see a side of that person you didn't see before, then there's a connection there. And it's just crazy how quickly things can change.
Yeah, it's true. Well, we're going to play Bachelor Regrets in a second, but what have you been up to since your time on the show? You have a band, correct?
Yeah.
It's tell me about it.
A really cool year. Basically, so, you know, I was a math teacher and then I quit the math teacher job after a year, basically. Well, I did like a year and a half. I'm not a trained teacher. I kind of pivoted into teaching.
Okay.
I love math.
You just love math.
I love math, love science. I've always been a tutor. So I love kids too. And so I kind of did that for a year and a half. And I loved working with the kids. That was my favorite part of it. But it was a tough job, especially during a pandemic.
Oh my God, yeah.
And so
kids can't learn math. It's hard to learn math in person. I can't imagine trying to look at a Zoom screen and following an equation or anything at all. Like I would be zoned out the entire time.
That was what I tried to do, was to try to find ways to make it fun and to make it like, hey, this is why math and science are cool and important and not just boring numbers. I don't care if you have this formula memorized. I want you to know why it's important and how math can apply in your real life.
How old were the kids that you were teaching?
Eighth grade and freshman year of high school.
Okay. So you definitely zoned out looking at the computer screen. Okay. So taking a break from the teaching and more focused on the music full time is kind of where we're at.
Yeah. So I got to do basically music full time. I did a couple of piano bar tours, which was so fun. So I did, I got to do like a New York show over Halloween, which was a blast. I bleached my hair blonde.
Oh.
And I dressed up as Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance.
Fun.
Costume, and I got to play a show there. That was a blast. I'd always wanted to bleach my hair blonde, so I thought, why not?
And it looks like it grew back fine. Looks great.
Yes, I dyed it back and it grew back out. So it was just kind of a little.
It's a risk with the bleach, but it looks good.
Sure. And then, I went on a piano bar through the Midwest. I've done dueling pianos for 7 or 8 years now, which I just absolutely love. And so I worked with a place called Howl at the Moon that has a bunch of locations around the US, and got to just do shows there and play. Like, I did my piano karaoke show. Okay. So I literally got people up on stage. I would play the piano. They would sing songs. A lot of them wore cat ears, which was pretty funny.
Oh my God. Iconic. There you go.
Yeah. But it was just, it was a dream come true to be able to, you know, go, tour around the US kind of on my own and play songs for people. And that's what I love doing, is bringing people together with music.
Yeah.
And then more recently in, I think it was May, my little sister is a drummer. And so I took her on tour with me to Texas, and we went through a few locations in Texas and did the same thing. So she played drums while I was playing piano. So you can picture like WAP, and I'm like sitting there playing the piano and she's playing the drums, and we get somebody to like rap WAP with us. Like, it was just, it was an absolute blast.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then I kind of realized that I miss having a full-time job, and I miss structure. I have kind of two passions in life. It's music, and I absolutely adore music, but I also adore science and math. And I kind of need both of those to feel like a normal whole human. So it's like, up in Wisconsin, I lived in Wisconsin for 5 years. Mm-hmm. I had my day job as a nuclear engineer, and then I worked as a dueling pianist, you know, one or two nights a week type of thing. And that was perfect.
Right.
So I got to play songs when I wanted to, you know, once or twice a week, but then I had my like structure of science and math during the day. So I've been on the job hunt.
Always.
Always a blast. Yeah. So the past couple months, I've just been applying to a ton of jobs and interviewing a few different places, and got a couple job offers here and there, trying to get back into medical physics, basically.
Okay. Medical physics. Yeah. Sounds important. Sounds above my head.
It's a really cool field. It's basically a lot of imaging and a lot of cancer treatment. You know, you've got these machines in the hospital that have a ton of physics behind them and how they're built. And so the medical physicist kind of has an understanding of how all that works and goes in and makes sure all the machines are working correctly. Because when you're delivering radiation to someone, you want to make sure you're in the right spot.
Right.
Exactly in the right spot.
Right.
So that's what the medical physicist does, kind of goes in.
The guy who wore a cat costume on The Bachelorette was working with medical physicists, everyone. There's sides to everyone.
That's right. We contain multitudes.
Yes. Is there any plans for more Bachelor reality TV in your future, or you feel good about the two stints?
I feel good about where I'm at, I think. It was a lot. I learned a lot. But for now, yeah, I'm ready to just kind of focus on, and I did, you know, a bunch of the Instagram stuff and had a bunch of fun with that. It was great. But what you kind of realize is that social media is fun, but it can't be your life.
Yeah.
At least for me,
should be a balance for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. And you need to have a day life that you really enjoy, like a day-to-day life in the real world with people you care about, getting to, you know, talk to them and that sort of thing. And so what I found is like when I didn't have that as much as I want here, I wasn't as happy as I want to be, even though the Instagram stuff was super fun. So looking to kind of invest more in my day-to-day life, find a day job again and see what happens.
Dating after the show, easier or harder?
So much harder.
Really?
Yes. Which was really surprising. Especially right after. It was bad. And I just, because like, you know, people DM you and, you know, that sort of thing. But then they're not really interested a lot of times in you as a person. They're interested in you as a character, or they're interested in just learning more about the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of stuff, crazy stuff happened. Like, people would make TikToks about me. Like if they would like DM me and I'd be like, oh shit, you're super hot. And then they would just like screenshot it and be like, Connor B from The Bachelorette DM'd me and said I was hot.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Great. Oh no, that's not cool.
Yes, we're done DMing people.
Oh my God, but just for clout.
Yeah. And that wasn't great. Or then I got on the dating apps for a while. I got on Hinge and immediately screenshotted, turned into a viral TikTok. Catman from fucking Bachelorette is on Hinge. And actually, there was a girl who I didn't even match with who screenshotted my Hinge, made a viral TikTok of it. And I was just like, okay, thanks for outing me on it, I guess. We didn't even match, but that's fine. Apparently she was telling people that we went on a date.
Oh no.
And this is someone I didn't even match with on Hinge. So just like,
well, this is also PSA to everyone listening. When you see those viral TikToks of the guys on the season and they're claiming this, the reason why sometimes things don't get picked up in mainstream media is because we can't confirm that it really happened. So don't believe everything you see on the anonymous stuff because anyone can say anything and that sucks. That would not be fun.
100%. Like way worse with Clayton and the TikTok girl. Did you follow?
Oh yeah, that was crazy. She totally she hooked up with someone who kind of looked like Clayton and told everyone it was Clayton. And then like he had to like prove where he was at a gym at the other side of the country. That was nuts.
That shit was nuts. And what 100% happened is a guy who kind of looked like Clayton told her that he was Clayton.
Yeah, 100%. And that's tough. Like, I'm sorry, girl. I don't know what's worse. Like bragging, Jessie. Like trying to act like you broke up Clayton and Susie, or hooking up with a guy who like lied to you and said was Clayton and then bragging about it. Like either way, like maybe think before you're going to the internet with all of this within 2 seconds.
People just be doing anything for clout.
Yeah,
so
it's true.
Most of everything that came after Bachelorette was amazing. Like tons of amazing people reached out and like said beautiful things. And dating was just weird.
Yeah. And I think it happens a lot, just like you said, right after the show, and probably like evens out to some. There's always going to be some people. But I also think that's why a lot of Bachelor contestants end up going back to people they dated before they went on the show. Mm-hmm. And I think it's partly like maybe the person they were with like realize like, oh, you don't want to scratch till it's gone. But also like you come comfort in like someone you knew or like met through a mutual friend because you don't know like who people's intentions anymore right after the show.
Right. Yeah. Especially, I mean, it's faded now because it's been, you know, more than a year. And
so yeah.
It's different. But yeah, I think you're right. Or like why people end up dating within Bachelor Nation.
Right. Like Katie and John.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What did you think of that when that happened? Just because you know Katie-ish, you met John at least once. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I love John on the show too. That was wild.
That was wild.
But cool thing, what I saw, like watching the video and hearing the story of like how beautiful and romantic of a moment that must have been when they were like, oh my God, we're not best friends. We're actually like in love. Like just thinking about, man, if that, like to go through that must have been so emotional and like beautiful and such like
yeah.
this catharsis moment for them. And then sadly has ended very recently within the past.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Katie's had a wild year from going to Matt's season straight to Bachelorette to then Blake. That's a lot to unpack. So it kind of makes sense that her first, like another serious relationship right after, even if they were, you know, meant for, they maybe just like aren't right place, right time. I don't know. I'd have to ask them, but I would just love to be a fly on like any Bachelorette season 17 group chat when that 12 Days of Messy was dropping, you know?
Oh yeah. I forgot about that.
I mean, was the chat growing, blowing up? Was everybody like, what is she doing?
We were chatting a little bit. What? Wild.
Wild. Katie's one who I appreciated as a reporter that she does not hold back on tea on social media, but I don't know. I feel like sometimes her life would be easier if she did. Yeah. Anyway, let's play Bachelor Regrets real quick and then I'll let you go. So these are just like some things that it's not necessarily like regret has like a negative connotation, but you can say, sure. Of course, I don't regret that. That was awesome. It's just like a way to talk about things. Because the first one is, of course, do you regret the cat costume?
Not at all. I wonder about this sometimes, how far I would have made it without the cat suit that, but because what it let me do, I was so nervous going in, literally. Like I was like, why am I here? What am I doing here? Like,
yeah,
holy shit. This is crazy. I never thought I'd actually end up here. And the cat suit gave me this weird power of just being like, you know what? Who cares? Like if I get sent home, at least I made her laugh. At least I made the guys laugh. Like we had a fun moment. Great. Whereas if I'd been in just a suit like everybody else, I would have kind of just felt like a face in the crowd.
Yeah.
Like I got to do something special and fun. And then also just the way that like people loved it and really connected with it and appreciated it and sometimes still meow at me on occasion.
Do they?
I do get meowed at. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Catcalled, if you will.
That must be a weird experience.
Yeah. So I did the Bachelor Live on Stage tour thing
right.
a few months ago. And this woman followed me around and meowed at me the entire time. She walked up and she'd go, oh, you're Connor the cat guy. Meow.
Was there wine in there?
Just
on her end.
And so my mom and my sister and I always say that to each other now. We just start meowing at each other. But it wasn't once. She just like literally followed me around and meowed at me. And I was like, haha, okay.
Oh my God. Okay. That's a new one. But I will say the costumes make you memorable. Like your Alexis dolphin shark, like people are never going to forget your Connor, the cat and Connor cat that ended up working out in your favor also.
Yep.
Do you regret any ukulele playing on the beaches of paradise?
No. And because that wasn't really for anybody other than me,
mm-hmm.
because music is such a big part of my life. And the way I process a lot of things is putting in my headphones and going and being a sad boy off by myself. So if I don't have my headphones, I need music somehow. So like when I was feeling really down, I would go play the ukulele and try to be by myself. So, and obviously like I played songs for people because I love bringing people together and like playing music for people. So but I need an instrument or music of some sort to be able to process things. So that's just a part of who I am.
Because Lance Bass got a little shady and tried to suggest that you were there for your music career. It sounds like you were just playing a ukulele to kill some time.
Not my Twitter feud with Lance Bass and Nick Viall.
I mean, I'm nothing if not a journalist researcher.
That was so stupid. That was so dumb. And I loved meeting Lance Bass, and I was so excited. And I was like, holy shit, incredible. And that, yeah, basically, I think what happened is, like, he had seen our episodes and we hadn't yet.
Right.
You have to imagine this whole thing happens and then you have no idea what they're going to show.
Air.
I literally told myself they're not going to show me at all. I had to tell myself that.
Yeah.
Because I was like, otherwise, that's the only way I can be normal is if I tell myself none of this is going to air. And so Lance Bass comes on the beach. And he's like, oh, yeah, I watched your first 3 or 4 episodes. And we're like, what? What happens?
Man.
Like, what do they do in it? And I think because I had played a song for Katie and I was like, oh, did they show my song or something like that?
Oh, and he was so like, oh, he only cares about his song.
That's the only thing he cares about. It was like all the guys were like asking questions like, oh, did this moment make it in? Did this moment make it in? And I'm like, oh, did they show my song at all? Because
yeah.
I thought for sure they hadn't shown like anything of me. But apparently Lance Bass took that as, oh, he's here for his country music career. The best part is Nick, when he did his podcast, goes, Connor B. So it's him and, you know, Lance Bass, but Connor B. Yeah. You know, never met the guy, but I don't like him. He hosted a group date that I was on.
Oh my God.
He hugged me while I was crying.
Oh no.
You know, I'm sitting there sobbing. I just like poured out my entire heart. Like,
yes.
I'm like, dude, so great to meet you. Like, you're amazing. Thank you for being here and like doing this. And then on his podcast, he's like, yeah, I've never met the guy, but he sucks.
Oh, Nick. I feel like, oh boy. Okay.
And then he was just like, yeah, I just can't root for the guy. Okay. And that's whatever. That was dumb. For Lance, it was punching down too.
Yeah.
But
I still love Lance. You still love Lance. Okay. You can still listen to NSYNC. It hasn't ruined
Absolutely.
It.
No, he's an incredible musician. Seems like a great guy. It was just,
do you listen to the Vile Files? I'm just kidding.
No, no, I don't.
Oh man. You're not the only one. Yeah. It's hard. I mean, I understand because the like alums do like recap and I'm sure those do really well, but it's a hard balance for sure of criticizing people you don't know, especially when you can relate to being in their shoes. Do you regret any tears shed on Katie's season?
No, not at all. Because it was an incredibly emotional experience. And that's one of the things, not that I loved about it, but like I learned so much about myself from being on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was who I am and what I experienced. And I don't know if I've cried that much in a really long time. So maybe I needed it. Honestly.
Yeah.
And honestly, it shows that like what I felt was real,
yeah,
you know, and important. And regardless of what happened during or after, like those emotions were real. And also like seeing the way the guys responded and cried too was pretty wild.
Yeah. That was an emotional episode of that program. Do you regret pursuing Marissa on Bachelor in Paradise because she had a stronger connection with Riley? I know you didn't know it at the time, but
no, you know, this is good because I don't have a lot of regrets. So this is actually really good to think about. Marissa was a blast. And what they didn't show a lot of was like, we were goofballs together and it was just super funny and super easy. And, you know, the stakes weren't that high. Like we'd only known each other for a few days or something like that. So the fact that she hit it off with Riley and, you know, I was sad on the beach, it's okay.
Yeah.
A stronger connection with someone else. That doesn't make me regret having a blast there on the beach for a few days.
Did you have fun filming Paradise? So it seems like you did compared to, because some people, you know, maybe not.
It was a shit show.
Right.
That's what I always tell people. Especially, yeah, I mean, I wasn't there very long and Trey and I both kind of unraveled is what we said. Like it was just so much went down. Like it was a lot. I had like looking back, I had fun, but in a like the sort of like traumatic fun way, if that makes any sense.
Do you think part of that is because you go straight from filming? If you go straight from filming a season onto another one and now there's just like no air conditioning and crabs and like you haven't been home long enough.
Yeah, honestly, that's a great point. And you don't know what you're going to, we hadn't seen our show yet. We don't know what you're going to look like on TV. You don't know if they're going to edit you to, you know, be a villain or anything like that. So you're just kind of showing up and no one on the beach knew who we were. So
yeah.
They didn't care as much about us because they, well, not necessarily that, but like they came in hoping to meet certain people.
Right.
They didn't even know we existed. So
yeah, that makes it hard.
Yeah.
Do you regret anything about that live kiss live on air? That was a fun one.
Oh, hell no. That was amazing. Tara Kelly.
You guys still in touch?
Yeah, no, we're still friends. She's a peach. She's a musician in LA. one of the kindest hearted people I think I've ever met in my life. She is really, really incredible. What I do regret is all that dumb shit that came out afterwards and all the like hate she got for being like a paid actor or something like that. Like that was stupid and hurtful.
Yeah.
She's a really great person.
Okay, good.
And that was honestly probably one of my favorite moments from this entire
Really? Movie. Okay. That was fun. Like it was fun to watch. And then last one, I know you're not going to regret it, but I just wanted to bring it up. Do you regret clapping back at Reality Steve for claiming that you were going to be on this season? What did you think? Ever get you to the bottom yet. Of that?
You don't know yet. True. Maybe I'm still going to show up.
Something tells me ABC wouldn't allow you on this call if you were going to show up.
Maybe I'm a late contender.
Maybe. Did you ever get to the bottom of that?
I think what happened is I was in LA around the time that filming was supposed to start because I was going to Hunter's sobriety party.
Okay.
So I figure somebody must have seen me in the airport or something like that. And I'm like, why is Connor from Nashville in LA right when filming is starting?
Right. Like that's that. A fair way to start speculation, but to confirmation is a little tough.
That was brutal.
Poor Connor. You know what? It's all good. It all ended well. But and I feel like overall it's gonna be one of those things like you seem to look back and you can like laugh at anything that happened, which is like the most important part.
Yeah. And when I went off on Twitter, then I had so many people reaching out and saying kind things. Like the swell and outpouring of kind things and great words so much eclipsed all the mean shit that people said.
Yeah. That's
so that's the good thing that came out of it. And that's like sometimes, yeah, Bachelor Nation can be really toxic, but sometimes it'll also really surprise you.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
You have to call them out a little bit.
Yeah. I think people need to be held accountable, and sometimes they forget that people are reading it, and it's no excuse to spew nonsense on the internet, but I think people do really underestimate like that people are going to see it no matter how much you tell them. But yeah, I don't know. There's a fun way to watch the show without attacking people's actual character and lives.
100%. Yeah.
I try to preach that.
Me too.
Well, thank you so much for giving me so much of your time. This was so fun. Where can people follow you, keep up with you, anything you got going on?
Yeah, of course. I'm on Instagram, Connor Falcon. Let's see. I've got a band, Sweet Josephine. And that's with my roommate, Sam. And then let's see. Is there anything else I want to plug? Oh, my mom has a book. Can I plug that real quick?
Sure.
It's really cool. So she wrote a book about her family. I didn't talk about this much on the show. It is Treasuring My Transgender Child, The Auditorium in My Mind. So it's my mom, Lisa Brennan. It's on Amazon. Basically, my family is the best family in the entire world. And my younger sister is transgender. And so it's this just beautiful story about us and a really happy story about like LGBT community type stuff. And sometimes there's not enough happy stories. So this is one.
Totally.
So yeah.
Well, that would have been something interesting to learn about you on the show.
Yeah, I was planning on talking to Katie about it at the dinner that I got sent home before.
Oh, damn. That's okay. You're talking about it now. Everyone can go check that out. That's very cool and important in real life stuff.
I was also hesitant to talk about it because Bachelor Nation is rough sometimes and can be talked about things like that.
Yeah, but that would have been interesting to see like how they're interesting, not fair because you don't want to risk something being interesting, but the reaction would have been I don't know, just something that I would have been interested to see, hopefully in a positive way, but I think it would have been interesting. Well, thank you so much again for joining me. And if you ever want to come back and talk about another episode, open invitation.
Heck yes. I had a blast doing this. So thanks so much for having me.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.